Hi, everybody. This is Armand Demel with Stephanie Dombra, The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Kind of beautiful music. Music from the 70s. Well, you know what's unique about that music? It both reaches out to you, and yet it reaches into you at the same time. The outies and the innies. There are people who reach out, and there are people who reach in. Today we want to talk to you about that difference. Today we're going to talk about extroversion and introversion. Extroversion and introversion we see. Extroversion is outwardly focused. An extrovert tends to be or is interested in seeking out excitement. They tend to think out loud and cannot solve things in their own heads as well as introverts can. And an introvert is somebody who tends to gather information inside themselves. And they tend to be more private.
Well, there's an interesting thing, Armand, that they are even able to see that there's more electrical activity in introverts, and that they're more stimulated by the things that are going on inside their head and their thoughts, and they don't need the outside world to give them that kind of sense of okayness or stimulation.
So the introverts have more electrical activity?
Yes.
There's more activity inside their head.
Yes, yes.
And therefore, if there's more electrical activity inside their head, there must be more feelings. You know, it's an interesting thing. Because then there must be more dopamine. More neurotransmitters?
Well, that's probably hard to determine because obviously dopamine is involved with focus and stimulation. So there may be that inside them they are stimulated enough with their own kind of dopamine production. I know we're talking very rudimentary. I'm sure it's not really, you know, exactly how this goes on, but whereas an extrovert needs the external stimulation to increase the dopamine. Introverts just probably have it naturally because something about their electrical activity and their thoughts or their thinking make it happen for
okay.
them.
Okay, so we have an extrovert and an introvert. And the extrovert seems to seek out the outside world for validation, stimulation, experience. And an introvert focuses more on their inner world. The introvert would rather silently, the extreme introvert. Well, I guess one of the things we should say is it's a continuum. It's not one or the other. We used to think of either you're an extrovert or an introvert, but think of it as a continuum. On one side, there's an introvert, and then there's an extreme introvert going all the way out, all the way in. And the extreme introvert could be somebody who's depressed. They use the word schizoid. They use withdrawn. That's the extreme side of it. So withdrawn, right, that they are completely removed. That's on the introversion side. On the extroversion side, you have extroversion olive oil. No, I just couldn't resist it. Extroversion olive oil. You have extroverts who could be as far as manic, hyperactive. You know, ADD is all on the other side of the spectrum.
And one more thing to add is that introversion is different than shyness. A lot of times people will think that the two are the same. And although they may show the same kind of behaviors, a shy person, if they go to a party, they want to be able to talk and interact and be social. Whereas an introvert can do it, and it doesn't cause them anxiety the way it would a socially anxious person or a social person who has social phobia. Introverts choose it. It's natural for them to be inside themselves and not interacting as the life of the party. They'd rather talk one-on-one.
Her levels are low.
Well, okay, this is Armand DeMille with you. Hey, this is very interesting. Because it should not be assumed that just because one has many friends that they are extroverted, because extroverted people don't have to be. They're not friends necessarily. The fact that just automatically somebody is an introvert, they may not be social at all, merely prefer non-social or less social activities. Remember, if you're an introvert, you're very much focused on your inner world. If you're an extrovert, you're focused on your external world. There's a lot that we've learned about this. We've learned a great deal about the difference between the two. Jung, the
Myers-Briggs.
The Breyers-Migs. I like it. Breyers, you know, like it's an ice cream.
Ice cream.
What is the Myers-Briggs?
It's a personality inventory that assesses this very thing about extroversion personality types and introversion personality types. It's used by many, many different industries even to determine, like an assessment for employment. A lot of times people will give this just to get a sense of what a person is like. And it helps. It's helpful information, just like, you know, sometimes what we give is the Enneagram. That's another helpful tool, but Myers-Briggs is used a lot.
Well, you see, you wouldn't be able to tell on the outside. I mean, I would appear to be an extrovert, you know, because I am. You would appear to be an extrovert, too, but you're not.
I'm not. I know. We always learn new things every time we do research, and I knew this about myself, but certainly when I start to look at this, and of course I love to see the science behind the behavior, so this is more information that we could share to the listeners out there.
So what did you learn on this one?
Well, I understand more, and I, of course, when I certainly see this, it just helps us not judge people. You know, we can get angry at people if they're a certain way, especially if you have two people that live in a house together and there's an introvert or an extrovert.
What's the primary difficulty they get into?
Well, think about, like, I even was discussing this with a client. If one client is living in a household with different family members, they want the music really loud. And they enjoy a certain kind of music. And then there's an introvert that's in the household. If it's a son or a wife or a partner, that person is going to be uncomfortable because they have to find that quiet space. So very often I will talk to people about these conflicts that occur. And if people understand this and realize it's not like, you know, somebody's doing something wrong. It's just that you have different experiences because of what your mind and your sense of well-being calls for.
You know, it's an interesting thing too, Stephanie, because if you think about people with who walk around with headphones in the subways, right, and they're listening to music, is that introversion or extroversion you're seeing? They're not engaged socially. That you've gotten away with these different machines to play your own music, play your own programs, but you've developed your own private world. I think the headphones are a sign of introversion, saying, I don't want to be engaged with the world out there. Me, I go out there in the world. Every person I see, I want to greet. I want to say hello to everybody. I'm the life of the party. But just because you're the life of the party doesn't make you the sane one. It's just you're the extroverted one. You're the one who goes out and fetches, whereas somebody else stays at home and they're more comfortable in their own mind, in their own world. And trying to get the two to interact, trying to get the two to live together, is really kind of easy, as long as you appreciate the difference.
And there's traits that each of us has. I have extroverted traits and introverted traits. You do, and most people do. It's those extremes. Not that most people aren't in the extreme categories of the really, like, that schizoid type of person, as you said, who doesn't want to interact at all. So we each have all these traits, but obviously some are going to be more dominant. And if, again, people understand this and can use this information, it helps them to be more peaceful with each other, I believe.
So what would you say, you, the listener, what would you say? You're an introvert or an extrovert? You probably know the answer automatically. Extroversion, the act, the state, the habit of being predominantly concerned with and obtaining gratification from what is outside the self. Extroverts tend to enjoy human interactions. They take pleasure in activities that involve large social gatherings, such as parties, community activities, public demonstrations, political groups, politics, teaching, sales, managing, brokering, or fields that favor the extrovert. An extroverted person is likely to enjoy time spent with people and find less reward in spending time alone at home. So one of the things that introverted people, who very often are therapists, tell extroverted people is you should spend more time alone. Well, that's coming from an introverted point of view. See, it's just a judgment. Whereas you're an extroverted therapist and you see an introverted patient, you very often say to that patient, you got to get out. You have to get out. You have to get out more. You have to be more social. Again, the person who tends to find the other person at fault is usually the other type. Getting to appreciate, as Stephanie says, is where we start making headway. Introversion is the state of or tendency toward being wholly or predominantly concerned with your internal world. Introverts tend to be more reserved, less outspoken. In fact, social networking sites have been a thriving home for introverts in the 21st century, where introverts are free from the formality of social conduct and become more comfortable about personal feelings than they would ever disclose. So the introvert has found great, great affinity for Facebook and things like that. So they're getting to know and having a social world without having to have the social interaction. Fascinating thing. An introvert is likely to spend time alone and find less reward in time spent with large groups of people. Trust is usually always an issue of significance. A virtue of utmost importance to an introvert is choosing a worthy, trustworthy person. They prefer to concentrate on a single activity at a time, and they like to observe situations before they participate. Especially observed in developing children and adolescents, introverts are easily overwhelmed by too much stimulation. Now, you do that if you're ever with an introvert and you're a normal, I like the party kind of person. You watch them shutting down when they hear too many things, smell too many things, see too many things. They want to slow down. They want to find their rhythm. And they find their rhythm when it's in harmony with their quieter internal self. Not big social bashers. Yet, the introvert can be the one who throws the party for the family. They can be out there. They could do their thing. They could follow it by road. You know, they could be very social and not be social at all.
Right. I think that they're again, lies that we do have certain traits that are similar, extroversion and introversion in one person. And as long as they can almost manage their environment, they can be with their family, they can be in those kind of settings, but not for long. You don't hear any introvert that I've ever worked with or understood stand. They don't go day after day, meeting after meeting, social engagement. They always describe, I have to go back and I have to, replenish or decompress. And maybe physiologically or, with all that electrical activity, they really actually have to go back to some kind of homeostasis physically and emotionally. Too much can really just make them feel depleted.
In the studio with me, Stephanie Dombra. Then there's ambiversion. Ambiversion. That's love of ambi. No, ambiversion.
I've not heard that term.
I know. I was saving it for you. Ambiversion, although many people view being introverted or extroverted as a question with only two possible answers, most contemporary trait theorists measure levels of extroversion and introversion as part of a single continuous dimension of personality, with some scores near either end. The ambiversion person describes a person who falls more or less directly in the middle, exhibiting tendencies for both. I'm an ambivert. You know? Nice. It would make a nice t-shirt. An ambivert is normally comfortable with groups. They enjoy social interactions. They also relish time alone and away from the crowd. Now, I think many introverts would describe themselves as ambiverts, and many extroverts would describe themselves as introverts, because everybody thinks they're the same way. But if you look at somebody's patterns habitually, either they do both, or they're always with people, or they're always alone. What do you do at night when you close your door? You know, do you want to be quiet? What do you look to retreat to?
Well, I don't think an introvert necessarily just is in their mind, but they do solitary activities that are one thing at a time. So it's not all these things going on. It's not like they go in their head and all of a sudden they just sit in a corner and think. I think that they're like architects, or they're musicians, and they're people who like to read or write. So they're doing an activity, but they're just doing it in a much more contained environment, and they're not distracted by all this external stuff that's going on. Whereas a person who's got, you know, five phone calls going, and the TV is on, and they're on their computer. This is a person that doesn't get bothered by all that external kind of input, and so it's just a matter of what each person can handle at the same time.
Here's a way of measuring it. I'll give you some questions. I agree or disagree with the following. I am the life of the party. Are you or are you not? I enjoy being the center of attention. Do you agree or don't you agree? I'm skilled at handling social situations. Do you agree or don't you agree? I like to be where the action is. Do you agree or don't you agree? I make new friends easily. Do you agree or don't you agree? I am quiet around strangers. I don't like to draw attention to myself. I don't like to party on the weekends. I like to work independently. And I often spend time by myself. So you ask yourself, which is this reflecting? A person who says, I agree, I often enjoy spending time by myself. Who would that be, an introvert or an extrovert? Clearly, that would be an introvert. I like to work independently. Introvert. I don't like to party on the weekends. Introvert. I don't like to draw attention to myself. Introvert. I'm quiet around strangers. Introvert. Now the extroverted ones are, I'm the life of the party. I enjoy being the center of attention. I'm skilled at handling social situations. I like to be where the action is, and I make new friends easily. So when people are like this, when you are one or the other, it's important to understand. Now, different theorists saw it different ways. Jung, you've heard of Jung, Carl Gustav Jung. According to Jung, introversion and extroversion refer to the direction of a person's psychic energy. And they say your psychic energy is either floating outward, then you're an extrovert. Well, if the energy flows inward, you're an introvert. Extroverts feel an increase of perceived energy when interacting with a large group of people. but a decrease of energy when they're left alone. So you'll hear an introvert often say, I feel happy out there. I feel a little more depressed when I'm alone. I get lonely is an extroverted sound. Conversely, introverts feel an increase in energy when they're alone, but they are depleted when surrounded by a large group of people. And that was according to Jung's theory of watching the energy flow. Eysenck was another theoretician. He described it to which a person is outgoing and interactive with other people. He said the behavioral differences are presumed to be the result of underlying differences in brain physiology. Now we're going to talk a little about that. Extroverts seek excitement and social activity in an effort to heighten their arousal level, whereas introverts tend to avoid social situations in an effort to keep such arousal at a minimum. Arousal. Do you like to be aroused? How do you like to be aroused? Some people, introverts, they like to keep arousal to a certain level because, you know, they tend to be anxious. And they tend to be, anxiety is usually the enemy with the introvert. It usually is the thing that they don't like. I don't want to be nervous. So I'm going to shut off the sound and shut off the music. And I'm going to try to get inside where I could find an internal balance. So since we're trying to avoid the stimulation, arousal is a stimulation. Whereas for the external, for the extrovert, without arousal, they feel like they're dying. That's where all the addictions come up, especially sexual addiction. You know, you feel this, I gotta have it, it's gonna make me feel alive. So the extrovert is dependent on replenishing arousal, whereas the introvert is dependent on keeping arousal to a controlled minimum. That's fascinating, I think.
And the introvert does not want those big hits of arousal, whereas the extroverts feel that that's bliss. And this whole concept of I'm happiest when I'm being stimulated. Introverts, based on this research that we did, do not chase happiness. They would rather find meaning in things than this blissful state and this intense, like, I'm happy when I'm out there doing X, Y, and Z. So that's also a difference. They really would rather stay under the radar for the most part. So they don't really even, the concept of happiness for a lot of people doesn't come up with in the same description as an extrovert would say.
Well, to an introvert, happiness is being at peace.
That's right.
Being at peace is not, I mean, that is happiness. To an extrovert, happiness is being at a party, is being excited. So if I'm excited, I'm happy. Now, the important thing is neither one is sane. Neither one is necessarily crazy. Neither one is wrong. It's two different types. It's two different types. And our job here on The Positive Mind is to introduce you to as many concepts as possible so that you understand better. Ken Gale, a little earlier, the engineer today, was describing how we flow on the internet to so many people around the world now. There are people listening all over the world. They never heard this stuff. They don't understand. But by understanding, maybe they'll be a little less judgmental. Now, there are times you get worried. I get worried if somebody I know is too extroverted. Like if they go on a shopping spree and if they're careless about spending their money. Or if they're suddenly talking a mile a minute, if they don't come back down the ground, something that I, as a shrink, would call a manic behavior, I get concerned. Hyperactivity concerns me. Whenever it goes out of normal, it concerns me, and that's on the extroverted side. On the introverted side, people with panic attacks, people who can't sleep, well, not necessarily not can't sleep, but people who are depressed, deep, deep depression, introversion, seclusion, that concerns me too. On either end of the spectrum, I get concerned. But it's a big spectrum. You can float back and forth. You can be introverted one day, extroverted the next. But if you're stuck on one side and you weigh all the way to one side, you kind of tip the boat. It's like a boat, you know. On one side, you have introversion. On the other side, you have extroversion. As long as you stay in the middle, you float. But if you load up the front or you load up the back, you have a possibility of sinking.
And in our own country, our culture, actually, we have 50% introverts and 50% extroverts. But in our different cities, such as New York, the extroverts come out in you know, huge numbers. So we assume that this is our culture. And so we are very much a kind of extroverted culture, whereas, let's say, Finland is an introverted culture. They really relish silence. So other cultures are clearly different on that scale of introversion and extroversion. And there's probably many more kind of like cultures that are not extreme, but don't have this 50-50 kind of cut, which we have.
Yep.
So I've met equal amounts of people that are introverted and extroverted in my world and my work, for sure.
Yes, what was that you had?
Yeah, just some of the other things that I was describing about when you're in a culture, for instance, and you're introverted, and you're in a culture that's mostly extroverted, you feel like there's a personality culture clash. That's what researchers are calling it now, that if you don't feel consistent with the societal values, you feel a bit alien. And that's probably on both sides, but using the example of an introvert in a very extroverted culture, you don't feel kind of like you're normal or you feel comfortable in that. And I personally know that feeling just from trying to adapt to this ever intense out there culture that we live in now.
Yeah, I've watched you do it. I've watched you come from a country basic, you know, environment, getting back into the city and all the different things that affect you in the city. If you are an introvert and you walk into Manhattan, you know, that's one of those people who say, well, New York's a nice place to visit, but I'm not sure I want to live there. Speaking of New York, by the way, the movie Home, H-O-M-E, is being shown on, I think, WLIB for this month. It's a movie about New York, and I'm in it. I did a bunch of stuff in it with a number of other great people. So if you, whatever you do on your TiVo.
Well, what is WLIB? B like boy?
I think it's B, yes.
I don't know that station.
Yeah, TV.
It's a New York mm-hmm. channel. Okay.
Yeah. But if you search the word home, the movie, you'll find it appear and you'll be able to see it. We've offered it here. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be playing you fantastic music. Today I'm playing you one of the most important albums, music for one of the most important albums ever made by Machito, M-A-C-H-I-T-O. He made an album called Kenya. And you're going to hear some of the best Latin music, extroverted type that you ever heard. We'll be right back, and then we'll take your calls after that.
No calls yet.
and that is Machito. And you heard in the middle of that Cannonball Adderley. Hey, this is Armand Deneau with Stephanie Donbro. We're talking about introversion and extroversion, the innies and the outies. What not to say to an introvert? Introverts are those quieter creatures that walk among you. They're not as mild-mannered as may be out to be. They seek and even will lash out at those who encroach upon them or malign their personal comfort zone. You see, even though they seem withdrawn or they seem reserved, you step on their toe and they will respond. They are not just dish rags. Here are a few emotional buttons to avoid if you have an introverted companion. Say things like, why don't you like parties? Don't you like people? That's a thing people very often say to introverted people. It's a common remark introverts say. There's a psychologist, Marty Lenny, who said that he wrote The Introvert Advantage. Usually we like people fine. We just like them in small doses. It's a different kind of socializing, she says. Hey, by the way, our telephone number is 212-209-2900, 212-209-2900. We are going to take your calls about introversion and extroversion and how that has either cost you or enhanced you or anything you want to say about it. Another thing is don't demand immediate feedback from an introvert. Extroverts think we have answers but just aren't giving them. See, that's what they say. Extroverts kind of think we have answers. They don't understand we need time to formulate an answer. And often we won't talk until a thought is suitably polished. So don't demand a response. Talk to me. Tell me. Another thing not to do with an introvert. Surprise. We've decided to bring the family to stay with you for the weekend. Oh, don't invade their space. It's murder. It's murder. Anyone, anywhere on the vast spectrum could find such a declaration objectionable, but it's more likely to really, really hurt an introvert. Get them to boil. Don't ask introverts why they're not contributing in meetings. If you're holding a brainstorming session, let the introvert prepare or encourage them to follow up with their contribution later. Don't interrupt. If an introvert gets to talking, listen closely. Remember, introverts are the listeners. Extroverts tend to be the talkers. But if an introvert finally gets to talking, listen closely. Being overlooked is usually a big issue for introverts. They start to talk. You interrupt them. That's it. They don't talk anymore. Above all, introverts hate people who tell them how they could be more extroverted and that being introverted is a desired state. It's like telling somebody who's depressed, you know, being depressed is what you prefer. That's why you are that way. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand Demill. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. I know you're there. Hi there. Ken, I know we have it, right?
We have them, and they're both gone.
212-209-2900. Sometimes it just takes a little while for us to get this all coordinated. 212-209-2900.
Okay.
Okay, here comes another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm glad you mentioned, what'd you say the middle one was?
Ambivision.
Ambivision. Because when you were reading out the list, I found that I was most of both, almost everything of both.
The lines are lit.
You are. And yes, so good, so that you are in the middle. Do you have a swing towards one or the other?
Yeah.
Which way do you find the most comfortable? The extrovert?
Both.
Both, you like both?
Yeah, at different times, at different moods, whatever.
Absolutely, I understand. Your name?
Ken? Jim,
thank you for calling in. Thanks for contributing.
Is the middle one. What do you call it again? What is it?
Ambivision.
Ambivision.
Ambiversion.
Ambiversion. Is that pretty much an accepted style?
Yes, of course. Of course, it's a comfortable style. Okay. It's very comfortable to be able to move in different neighborhoods. You know, it's like if you're in New York and then you walk out to the country, are you comfortable in the country as well as you're comfortable in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Sure. So that's the beauty of it. Certain people can never come to the city. Other people can never leave the city. You know?
Right.
It's the difference. Thanks very much.
Also, let me ask one more thing.
Sure.
Can it be found that maybe at one stage of a person's life they'll be introverted, and at another stage they'll be extroverted, where like they're totally one way or the other, depending on a period in their life? Like maybe when they were younger they were one way, and then they're older they're another way?
Yes, certainly.
Nothing's hard and fast rule. People don't stay that way.
That's absolutely right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can tend to see the tendency in children. You know, you can see the children that are private, and they usually wind up being private. The people who are public, they wind up being public. But remember, there is a thing called bipolarity, in which case a person goes all the way from one end to all the way the other end. So we have a way of moving. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Armand.
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
My name's Aaron. I'm married to my wife, Ariana. And she's a textbook introvert, and I'm definitely an extrovert.
Uh-huh.
And I was just curious, what kind of advice, because I think I said everything wrong from the whole list you read, you know, and I was just curious, like, what type of advice would you give me to help our relationship?
Tell me what the most beautiful thing about the fact that she is an introvert is. What's the most beautiful thing about her? Like, tell me something about her privacy. Tell me something about what she does when she's alone that you really appreciate, that you can't do.
That I can't do?
Yeah.
I guess the way that she's able to actually just be in tune and at peace with herself.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's so much so that I feel she's ignoring me, and I constantly ask her, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?
So that's the difference. This is just what Stephanie was saying. You get to a point where you need stimulation, so you're turning to her, and you're saying, honey, you got to stimulate me, please.
Yes.
And she, if she had a taser, it would be nice. She could then just kind of shoot you with a taser and say, hey, is this enough, buddy? And that'll get
exactly.
you going. But, you know, you don't want that, because what you really want is you want the stimulation, and yet she's saying to you, no, I offer you the peace that I have inside, but you're asking me for stimulations, making me crazy. So what you have to do is appreciate her for what she's got, and then find what you need wherever you need it. You know, do what you got to do. And I don't mean other relationships, but I mean keep your own mind activity available and don't necessarily drag her along. Just respect what she's got. Unless she's deeply depressed and unless she treats you with disdain. But you may find that she treats you the worst when you're trying to get her to respond.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that introversion could be mistaken for depression?
I think they're very often connected.
Mm-hmm.
Not mistaken for. I think an introverted person tends to get depressed.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Bimar. How are you feeling?
Good.
I like your topic. The reason why, I'll give you history. I once was married to a lady who were the one that always was quiet, most of her time spent studying. We hardly even had conversations about over 7 years of marriage. However, I call it quit because of other circumstances. But now, I found myself being more being like to be more quiet, and now I find myself into a lot of more reading. So my question to you is that, do you believe that people can change roles and become the one that they never was and replace the one that they never wanted to be?
Yes.
Do you understand my question?
Yes, 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 of course. Of course.
Elaborate on that for me, because I'm kind of puzzled.
Sure.
Because now I find myself, and I'm looking at it for the past 3 years, and I'm not beginning to understand why she was the way she were. And I'm, because I don't want to start becoming like her, but now I'm finding myself more into reading, even though I was a person that liked reading before. I used to go to parties. I was the one that, not the life of the party, but I could be a part of the life of the party. But now I found myself, I hate partying now. And I'm more reading.
So it sounds to me like you want to try getting back together with your ex-girlfriend.
Well, no, because not that part, because I don't want to go there. But what I'm trying to see, the shift in the human psyche.
Yes.
Use that word.
Yes, and we do shift. I hear it, and I'll give you just an example of it. Okay. Sometimes when you're a young teenage boy, you're run by a lot high levels of testosterone, and you have a lot of hormones that are driving you crazy, and you're moving very fast. When you get a little older, your metabolism slows down and balances. When your metabolism slows down, you wonder to yourself, what am I chasing? What am I running after? And sometimes you find that same thing that the introverts know, that laying back by yourself can be just as beautiful as anything you're chasing after.
But let me give you this, take a little further, very briefly. I was self-employed at that time. So most of my time, I worked for myself, and I had time to be home. I was out. She worked in the city, but now she's home. And it's like both situations are in the reverse.
Very interesting.
Follow me? Sure. Elaborate on that for me, and because I'm still trying to make sense of it.
Yeah, it's hard to just make sense rather than observe. It's very hard to make sense. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Elvis.
Elvin?
Elvis. Like Elvis Presley. Yeah. Elvis.
Okay. And so.
And I listen to your show. I've learned a lot on your show. Especially, I like that one that you had on, the one that's dealing with, let me hope get the name quickly. People that make one small problem seem to be so large.
Yes.
The name you give it to it was what?
Catastrophizing.
Catastrophize. I like that. And you know, it was so ironic. The day before you had did that, I like to write words and get the meanings of the whole word, the root, and see what it means, the gender and whatnot. And that word, I was actually learning that word the day before you actually bought that catastrophizing.
Amazing. Elvis, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
212. 209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
209-2900.
Oops.
Hello?
Yes, turn down your radio, please. Hello?
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 Yes, my name is Catherine, and, you know, I'm originally from France. And what I find extraordinary is that I think that the extrovert culture is about imposed on us. Like, I learned about the U.S., America, by reading the novels of the 19th century. And American men were always, you know, shown as very quiet and like the pioneers. And when you see TV now, it's like, to me, all the shows on TV are completely different from the way Americans were in the 19th century. I don't know if it's due to immigration or the influence. And I find that people now talk the way, you know, they behave the way they're supposed. They see it on TV.
So you think most of the people are extroverted or introverted on TV?
No, I'm saying the culture is imposing an extrovert behavior.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure, because if you look at things like the science machine, the CSI, and these investigative things, a lot of them are talking about people who are introverted, who are stars, who are the main focus. So it's not necessarily that the TV and the movies are just talking about the extroverts. I think they're presenting more of the introverted hero than we've ever seen before.
You're right. But what I find is that if I go to a mall, I find that the teenagers speak in a much louder and shrill voices than my generation.
Of course, of course. And it's not all...
So I don't know, it's that influence from the TV, where as soon as you have something, they all, you know, jump and down and all that.
Oh, but think about France. How many extroverts do you think there are in France compared to introverts? France is a beautiful place of inner privacy, of quietness. You know, it's not like the French people to be jumping all over people's space.
Well, you know, if I may say so, France is the only European country to have its head in the cold and its feet in the heat. So, for instance, the north of France, they're close to Belgium. They're going to behave in a completely different way from the people in the south of France who are close to Spain or Italy. So it's a country that has, you know, dichotomy, personality.
And which
Paris
one,
is...
Which one are you?
I'm from Paris. And when you look at the map, Paris is fairly north.
So
it's in the second, I mean, it's north of northern part of France.
So would you say you're more introverted than...
Oh, I'm introvert. What you said today is so true, because years and years ago, I read something about how introverts need to be alone to get back their energy, and that extrovert needs to be with people to get their energy. And like going to a party, I wilt as the evening goes on, and the extrovert, you know, they just they bloom. They get more and more energy.
Well, wilting Catherine from Paris, I am so glad you're here in New York. You're part of our program. It's nice.
And I just want to say something, too.
Sure.
I listen to your program wherever I can. And one of the best programs I ever listened to was the one on being disappointed. And when you said, you know, like, when you're disappointed is that you didn't read the signs correctly. And, like, in a way, nobody should be disappointed because the other person is what they are. And we read that person wrongly.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoy that work.
I never forgot that program, which was such an eye-opener. No, I am an introvert. I die if I don't get my time alone.
Well, you know, right now you're talking to many, many people.
It's the first time I ever called the program.
So I guess maybe the introversion may be getting a little bent here. You may be...
No, because everything you said is right on the mark.
Catherine,
it's just amazing.
Love to speak with you. Thank you so much. I hope to hear from you again.
Thank you.
For sure.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. Time for one more caller. Hi, this is Armand Demelia.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hello?
Yes. Could you turn down your radio? Yes, turn down your radio.
Okay. My name is Edward. I'm basically introverted, but as I was getting older, I've become less introverted and a somewhat extroverted, but I'm still basically introverted.
Yeah, I'm sure. And so you find yourself moving out a little bit.
Yeah, I found that over the past, let's say, 10 or 20 years, like when I've gone to job fairs, I'm extroverted. I shake hands with the representatives from each company, and I have more confidence than I did early, because when I was a young boy and teenager, I was shy and bashful.
Well, do you like this change, Edward?
Pardon?
Do you like this change in you?
Yeah, I think it was a good change, but still I'm basically introverted. I still retain some of this shyness and bashfulness, but it's diminished greatly.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad to hear you've made quite a change. You're feeling a little safer in the world, and you're coming out to join us. Nice to see.
Yeah, like I attended a 50th class reunion, and I was outgoing. I'm married. I introduced my wife to my former classmates. A lot of them changed very much in their appearance over the last 50 years. I also, but I was easily recognizable.
Edward, I want to thank you very much for calling. We have to be going. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. And it's a thing, you know, sometimes when people call in, it's hard for you to understand what it takes some people, a real challenge like Catherine, to call in today, and even Edward. So I thank you all, my friends. Thank you for all of your work. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. My special thanks to Stephanie Dombra for your help with us today, Stephanie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. with more of this exciting stuff. You could go to our Facebook page, The Positive Mind Facebook page, The Positive Mind, and join up and join part of the gang who's all over the place now as my my friends negotiate this effort. So I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. Bye-bye for now.
Hi, this is Donovan, and you're tuned to W.
And so tonight we say, hip hip, chin chin.